Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson today centers on one of the tragic questions of the Bible, a question asked by King David as he sat at the gate in a little city called Mahanaim, which was but a short distance from Jerusalem. He was not there by choice, but he had been driven there as a result of revolt against him led by his own son Absalom. And his question was, is the young man Absalom safe? Now, the Bible raises many questions, and they're not all asked for the purpose of extracting information. The very first question of the Bible was asked by the devil. Hath God said that ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And this was not asked for information, but as a means of creating confusion and doubt in the mind of Eve. The devil knew that doubt was the first step toward disobedience. Another question was asked by God of Cain, where is thy brother Abel? Now this was an embarrassing question to Cain, seeing how he had murdered his brother. Oh yes, God knew what had happened, but he raised the question to impress upon Cain the responsibility and the enormity of his crime. And Cain responded by another question, am I my brother's keeper? And he asked this in an effort to escape his guilt, not for information. Job asked one time, if a man die, will he live again? Well, Christ has answered that question. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Neither of these questions sought information, but they showed the value of the soul. Now, some questions are asked in order to trick and to deceive and to entangle and to ensnare. But David's question was asked for information. He wanted to know, is the young man Absalom safe? And I say it's somewhat surprising that he would question about this and have this question on his lips because of the manner of character of Absalom. For you see, Absalom was a very wicked person. He was a murderer, having killed his half-brother Amnon. Because Amnon had ravished Absalom's sister, Absalom took the law into his own hands and he killed Amnon. And prior to killing Amnon, he had nourished hatred and vengeance in his heart for 2 years. And as a result of his crime, he had to flee from Jerusalem for 3 more years before he was finally able to be reconciled enough to come back to Jerusalem. And when he returned to Jerusalem, what did he do? He remained there for 2 years before he was permitted into the courts of King David. And during this time, he was busy building hatred toward his father and plotting to overthrow him. He would sit at the gates of the city, and when citizens would enter the city having some matters to be decided by the king, Absalom would complain, "You'll not get justice with David," and he encountered them day after day, telling them that if he were only the king, then he would be able to get justice. The Bible says he stole the hearts of the people away from David. And this was no little accomplishment, seeing how the people had adored David from the time that he had killed Goliath. Absalom finally asked leave to go from Jerusalem to a place called Hebron. And he said he was going there to keep a vow that he had made, but that was not it. He was giving leave of absence, all right, but it was not to keep a vow, but to muster his forces to revolt against David. He led the rebellion, and he did what no other enemy of David had ever been able to do, and that is drive David off of his throne and drive him out of his capital city. David, leaving Jerusalem, that was the low point of his life. He was fleeing for his life, and his heart was broken. His own son was rebelling against him. His forces were in such disarray that he didn't know what to expect from them. And some of his most trusted advisors had sided with Absalom. He knew that it was in part punishment because of his own sins. But however he might have looked upon it, there can be no doubt but the character of Absalom was contemptible and reprehensible. He was a liar, a revolutionary, a murderer, a subverter, a blackmailer. So many wicked things about Absalom. But after his initial success, Absalom soon lost hold of the rebellion. It soon became apparent that David's army had not forsaken him, and David and his people began operations to recover his throne. The armies of David and of Absalom, they met in the field of battle, and it was a case of son against father and father against son. What a tragic situation. The son had disgraced his father. The son would have gladly sacrificed his father to secure his own unholy ambitions. And yet, before the battle begins, David instructs his people and all of his captains, "Deal gently with the young man for my sake." Oh yes, Absalom deserves severe treatment. But for David's sake, he pled that Absalom not be harshly treated. In the great conflict that followed, it says some 20,000 fell in the forest of Ephraim. Absalom's army was routed. It was scattered. It was crushed by the more experienced and better trained, better led armies of David. David anxiously awaited word at the outcome as he sat there at Mahanaim. And soon a messenger came running toward him, first one, then another. And David asked the question, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" That's remarkable that this was what was most important to him. He didn't ask what was the outcome of the battle. He didn't ask how many lives had been lost. He didn't ask whether the throne had been recovered. His concern was for his son Absalom. And the answer he received told the story. He was told, "Would that all the enemies of David were as Absalom." You see, friend, Absalom was dead, and his mangled body was buried beneath a pile of stones deep in the heart of the forest of Ephraim. No, Absalom was not safe. In reality, David's inquiry about the safety of his son had come much too late. I suggest to you, friend, he should have asked that question long before now. And now it was too late to do anything for Absalom. David should have asked that question when he chose Absalom's mother to be one of his wives. She was the daughter of a man named Talmai, a king of Geshur. And those people were heathen people. They came from a heathen land of pagan people. They didn't care anything about the true and living God. Indeed, David had violated God's law by taking her for his wife, and that marriage was not motivated by love and respect for God or for anybody else. It was purely for selfish and political interest, seeking alliances that would enhance his own power. Yes, he took her, not asking what kind of mother she would be for his children or what spiritual effect she might have on the lives of those around her. And today, so many intermarriage without ever giving God and His will very much thought and concern. No, Absalom was not safe even before he was born. He was not safe in the selection of his mother. And David should have asked, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" when he was looking with lustful eyes upon Bathsheba, when he was looking and ruining the home of Uriah, conspiring to have Uriah killed in battle, as if it was nothing. He should have been concerned when he was lying, trying to cover his own sins by committing more sins. Friend, no child is safe when his father and mother is engaged in that which is evil. How many parents today are putting stumbling blocks in the paths of their own children? Pitfalls into which the young might fall, placing mines in their roadway to explode to their harm, doing this by their own evil. No, he was not safe when he was looking upon Bathsheba. And then we see that the stones that covered the pit in the forest of Ephraim, where did lay the body of Absalom? I say to you, it was a monument to parental neglect of a child. And the question, "Is a young man Absalom safe?" Oh, it's a heartbreaking question, because there's so much self-rebuke in it. In Absalom's death, David saw more than just the death of his son. And while he could know that Absalom surely had reaped as he had sown, He knew that much of the blame was his own. Young people have a responsibility, but those who are older also have a responsibility. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's a terrible thing for a parent to realize that the suffering and the tragedy visited upon his own children, the result of his own sin, his own neglect, his own selfishness. Oh, David wailed, "Oh, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, oh, my son." David was experiencing the deepest grief that one can know. Oh, yes, he had had a son to die before. He knew what it was to lose a child, but he knew that he could go to that child even though he couldn't bring him back, 2 Samuel chapter 12. But now he was not only reliving the agony of the death of one of his children, he knew he had helped to make it that way. Nothing now could be done. His question of concern had come much too late. We must wonder how many fathers and mothers today should be raising the question regarding their own children, while there is time and opportunity for them to do something about their duty toward that child. Is your child safe? Is he safe if you do not give him the advantages of a Christian example? Is he safe if you are neglecting his spiritual training to live God's way? Is he safe when you're overly occupied with other matters and you neglect him? Is he safe with his companions? Is he safe in his recreation? Is he safe in his education? Or is he safe where he goes and what he does? If you do not discharge the duty of love toward your children while we have time, there may be a time when we will come and ask, "Is my child safe?" But it'll be too late to do anything about it. John Greenleaf Whittier once wrote, "For all the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest of these, it might have been." Friend, think about it. It might have been different with Absalom if it had first been different with David. What are we who are older doing about our children? It makes a difference how we talk to them, what we do toward them, the example that we set before them, the teaching that we see that they receive, that they can know the will of the Lord and what their lives are all about and what they're supposed to be doing. God has a purpose for every life, and that is to fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Yes, it's the responsibility of parents to train their children in the right way. Yes, it's the responsibility of children to follow the way that they are taught. But you cannot lead where you will not go, and you cannot teach what you do not know. You need to know the will of God so that you can teach your children the will of God. And if you are not busily engaged in seeing to it that your children are taught the things of God and the Bible, you are neglecting that child. You are stacking stones upon his spiritual body to his destruction. And the responsibility of his doom will be in part not only upon him, to be sure, but upon you, because you have failed to do your duty toward your child. Is the young man Absalom safe? No, he was not safe. David realized now that he was not safe. But David asked the question too late. He should have asked it much earlier. He should have ordered his conduct and behaved himself in a different fashion, and his child would have been different. Oh, how sad. Is the young man Absalom safe? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.